This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Glynis Board. This morning, as thousands of kids head back to school across the state, we'll hear advice from one educator with decades of experience.
Systemic racism, those inherited biases and prejudice of different policies and practices, you know, that have just been handed down generation to generation, it just doesn't go away overnight.
That's coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. For years and years, forest managers have set small fires, hoping to remove accumulated dead leaves and twigs that can increase the risk of bigger, more dangerous blazes in the future. Some people worry that these so-called controlled burns promote climate change by releasing more carbon into the atmosphere. As Sandy Hausman reports, scientists in Virginia are trying to figure out how much harm actually comes from low-level fires in our forests.
On an ATV tour of Warm Springs Mountain in Bath County, the Nature Conservancy's Blair Smythe shows me how much difference controlled burns have made.
So if you look over here on our left, you can see that there's a lot of big trees. There's a few dead ones interspersed there. But if you look underneath, there's this massive flush of young vegetation. Loads of wildflowers, some grasses in there. Game species like deer and bear and turkey love it, because look at all the food that's out there for them and places to hide.
But to the right, an area that hasn't been burned, large trees shade the forest floor and fewer plants are growing there. Smythe says burning is a natural process, often started by lightning, that has been suppressed in modern times by people.
Fire's been present on this landscape for millennia. I mean, fire has shaped these mountains into what they are today.
And today, blazes are an important tool when it comes to maintaining a healthy, diverse forest, according to Nicole Simmons, restoration coordinator for the Nature Conservancy.
We burn to keep the forest floor clear of leaf litter so that when the acorns drop from the oak trees, they can regenerate with ease. We also burn to knock back some of the shrubs and bushes so that more light can hit the forest floor to encourage growth of grasses and wildflowers, blueberries and huckleberries, which provide a significant food source for a lot of different wildlife species.
But is the upside of burning a fair trade for the pollution it causes, the addition of carbon to the atmosphere? That's one thing her group hopes to find out.
We're collecting a lot of data to find out what the effects of fire are, to add to the body of knowledge about what fire does in the Appalachians.
Sean Lorbert is a land protection specialist at the Nature Conservancy. He says scientists are actually counting trees on Warm Springs Mountain to get a better idea of how much carbon is released by controlled burns.
It's basically a forest inventory. You measure a certain area of your woods. That's your sample. You extrapolate that to get an overall estimate of how much carbon is on a project. We have declining carbon from burned leaves and branches on one side. We have increased carbon from new growth. We have very, very slowly declining carbon from the big trees that we killed, but that are still standing. And even when they fall over, they decay very, very slowly for decades.
It's possible, he says, that new growth after a fire sucks up even more carbon than what's released during a burn.
The carbon gain, then, is what happens after the burn. You know, how much increased growth do we see in the surviving trees, in the young growth? So there's a small loss of carbon on the day of the burn, and we think a long, slow increase in growth after the burn.
The study will also allow the Nature Conservancy to more accurately assess the value of its forest preservation projects here in Virginia, enabling the nonprofit to sell carbon credits to environmentally conscious companies. Again, Allegheny Highlands Program Director Blair Smythe.
There's companies out there that need to buy some carbon credits to offset their carbon usage. And that's the voluntary market where they're not required to do it.
And in California, state law makes that mandatory for big polluters.
So if companies in California do need credits, they can buy carbon credits from people that have them to sell. That's what the Nature Conservancy is doing.
The Conservancy hopes to finish its study and issue findings in about a year. In Bath County, I'm Sandy Hausman.
Thank you.
9 West Virginia counties today will start the school year off virtually. The other 46 will offer in-person, virtual, and hybrid schooling options, at least for the first week of school. That could change next weekend. Every Saturday night, state officials will update a color-coded map found on the West Virginia Department of Education's website. The map indicates what schooling options will exist in each county week by week. This is how West Virginia is tackling school this year in the face of the coronavirus, taking it one week at a time. In the Eastern Panhandle, in Jefferson County, education reporter Liz McCormick spoke over Microsoft Teams with Deborah Corbett, who recently retired as principal of Ranson Elementary School after decades of service. Here's their conversation about the unprecedented year ahead facing educators and about the role education plays in addressing social and racial issues.
This morning, teachers and students in West Virginia are headed back to the classroom. You, of course, have recently retired as principal of Ranson Elementary School in Jefferson County, where you worked for more than 30 years. I wonder if you have some advice that you would share with the teachers of West Virginia who are returning to the classrooms this year amid this pandemic.
Well, I would first say for our teachers, welcome back to school, and we wish you the best experience this year that we can offer under this circumstance. The teachers, I know you have just worked so very hard to prepare for the students who are coming back to school, and also the teachers that are going to be teaching our students virtually, and they've worked so hard. Just want to say, just take a deep breath. We can't get everything accomplished in one day, and it's just going to take some time to go through this pandemic time and do the best that we can.
You've recently retired, and you've retired at what has started as a strange time in human history, the coronavirus pandemic. How do you feel going into retirement amid something like this?
Well, it's a double-edged sword. In one way, it's like, oh my goodness, I guess this was a good time for me to retire, because surely it is just a stressful time. And on the other hand, it's like, oh, I need to be there at school. I need to help and support my teachers, and I need to be there to get them through this time. So I'm very thankful that I'm able to be at the school for a little bit to help with the transition and help everyone through this year for a few months, and just be there and help support the students and as much as I can, and the teachers.
You've been as a principal at Ranson Elementary School for 3 decades. And prior to that, I mean, you've been involved with education for so long. Talk with me about the growth and the changes that you've seen at that school and in your community.
Well, the community, I do have to say, has embraced just not me, but the whole school. The community has just been so supportive. And then it has changed. The climate has changed. We're such a diverse school now. It's always been diverse, but now we have a large ELL population. We have a large Black population. And as we grow into that diversity, I think our students have learned to respect one another and appreciate the diversity and learn from each other's cultures. They know that we treat them fairly, we treat them equally, we expect the same respect from all the kids. So it's been an experience with the culture changing, and with that, we've made sure that this blended culture is working together.
When you mentioned that Ranson Elementary School is, of course, very diverse and has a diverse demographic, and everyone knows what's going on nationally regarding the treatment of Black people by police and just racial injustice issues, how has this issue shifted for you personally and professionally over the decades? And can you describe for me a little bit about what you've seen and how you felt?
Well, as being a Black administrator, it has just opened up my eyes even more. I grew up in my elementary school in a segregated school, first through sixth grade. Then when I went to middle school and high school, of course, I went to integrated schools. And I sort of had to learn all over again, you know, school and how to interact and transition into an integrated school. So during those times, some students accepted you and some students didn't. So I had to learn how to work with those who didn't accept you being in their schools and come to appreciate those who didn't see color and, you know, just thought of you as a classmate and treated you the same. Being in education, I never looked at students saying, oh, I have to make sure that I treat this one differently, but treat them all fairly and the same. Very passionate with that. And with everything going on at this time, I do think of the kids and what they're seeing on TV and even what they're hearing and what they're experiencing in their family and in their homes too. And wanting them to make sure that they can come to Ranson and that they know that they're in a safe environment and an accepted environment. I think the challenge is to make sure that the teachers have the same outlook and view too as well. So, you know, we have to be honest with kids. We have to, you know, let them know if they ask you things about what's going on. We have to break it down to them and then give them time to talk as well, because we don't know what they've been going through. They haven't been in this building since March. They may be going through some different things that we just don't even know. But I think with this time and with everything going on, we have to be more in tune than ever in the students.
You know, I think about school is where a lot of memories and experiences and just learning happens, whether that's academic or social. And I wonder, you know, we hear the phrase systemic racism quite a lot, especially used in responding to social justice issues. In looking at education and how education shapes, I wonder if education is key to kind of bridging this gap that has been created from racism and social injustice.
Yes, I think so. I mean, systemic racism, those inherited biases and prejudice of different policies and practices, you know, that have just been handed down generation to generation, it just doesn't go away overnight, especially families that aren't exposed to, on a daily basis, students or people of different cultures and things. You know, kids that go to school every day and they don't have a student of minority or the different culture in their classroom every day, and they're in maybe an all-white classroom and they don't have those opportunities or exposures to be with someone of a different race. And then when they see things on TV or they hear things, you know, it's only what they see. It's not what they experience. But definitely education is a way to do it. And that's why it's so important for the teachers to expose those students of all types of cultures and in their lessons and their reading and class. And that's, I think that's one way that we can come together.
That was Deborah Corbett, former principal of Ranson Elementary School, speaking with Liz McCormick. To learn more and hear the extended version of this interview, visit our website, wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Andrea Billups is our news director. I'm your host and producer, Glynis Board. This is West Virginia Morning.